You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL. This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 57. And they're off, ladies and gentlemen. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs have started. Tones have been set. Statements have been made. And with just a few first games in a series around the league being played, we already have some fairly exciting and surprising outcomes. Hey, everybody. Andy here. I am recording this on Sunday evening. My co-host, James, sends his regards that he couldn't be with us this evening. He is attending to his parental duties, but he did send over some thoughts that I will be happy to share with all of you on this game as we talk about the Rangers winning game one over the Washington Capitals by a final score of 4-1. And before we jump into the Rangers' first win earlier today, just wanted to give some general thoughts on the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, the first thing I've noticed is that it seems like most games have been either fairly boring and nondescript. I would put the Islanders-Carolina Hurricanes game in that bubble. And I might even, honestly, until the latter half of it, put the at least the first half of this Rangers Caps game in that bubble. And other than that, the other games have been flat out balls to the wall, much like Leafs Bruins yesterday, like the crazy Colorado Winnipeg game that's happening right now. But yeah, I think it's one of those things that there are two distinct styles in the NHL right now. It's either crazy up tempo action end to end and physicality, or it's low event, no mistake hockey. Usually the teams that win the Stanley Cup or go on to win are the teams that can play it any which way you want. So we'll see, you know, which team can adjust, which team can play mistake-free low event hockey when need be, and which team can put their foot on the gas pedal when they have to. But seeing as this is a New York Rangers podcast, let's get right into it, shall we? The New York Rangers knock off the Washington Capitals in game one of their series against one another at the Garden. Final score, 4-1. And the narratives going into this game was essentially of the President's Trophy winning New York Rangers versus the just happy to be there, got in by the seat of their pants, Washington Capitals. So the narrative was most people were basically saying it's not going to be close, should either be the Rangers in a sweep or probably five games if the Caps can get one victory under their belt. So, but obviously a lot can go wrong and the playoffs are a totally different animal. So there was speculation if maybe the Caps' low event mistake-free style would serve them better in the postseason, especially with how good Charlie Lindgren has been down the stretch. Can the Rangers solve Charlie Lindgren, Ryan Lindgren's brother, by the way, as they've only mentioned a million times on TV. But can the Rangers solve Charlie Lindgren? You know, he catches with his right hand instead of his left, so that's weird. And he's just been excellent this season and is honestly the only reason the Capitals are probably in the postseason. But can they solve him? And will that frustrate them if they can't break through and the Caps can just counterattack and score that way? So that there was a lot of pressure on the Rangers. Would they basically come ready to stand on business and take care of their own business? And that's exactly what they did in this game. The first period, very much two teams kind of feeling things out, basically combined with the refs calling everything, which was annoying, but kind of messed up the funk and the flow of the first period, which was honestly pretty boring and pretty nondescript for a playoff hockey game. This game did progressively get, you know, crazier and chippier as it went on, but it, you know, I think it was basically the way the Capitals wanted it to go, because it's zero, you know, there's no zero, zero goose eggs essentially going into the first intermission. And you felt like the longer the Rangers, who had the edge and chances, couldn't break through, that it was going to benefit and favor the Washington Capitals, because that's how they've been comfortable playing all year, kind of just playing possum. But the Rangers stick with it, and after taking a pretty weak penalty in his first shift on the ice earlier in period one, the fourth line that has come alive as in the last month of the regular season and continues to get it done now, they have a huge night. And Goodrow to VC to Rempe, essentially in front of the net for a quick stash. Matt Rempe's first playoff goal in his first playoff game. The Garden, who was already chanting his name when every time he gets on the ice, erupts. And yeah, I mean, that fourth line, which we've talked about basically all year. I mean, you know, it's pretty crazy to think that early in the year, it was some combination of Tyler Pitlick, Nick Bonino, and Barkley Gaudreau, and now this is where we're at. But yeah, they score a huge goal to get the energy in the building. Rempe's cult status keeps the lore of Matt Rempe grows deeper and deeper, and the Garden is chanting his name and comes alive, and that gives the Rangers a spark. And we've talked about this on multiple podcasts in the last month, is that he just changes the temperature in the building. He lights the spark, and literally within what, a minute or two later, Panarin, Lafreniere, and the Trocheck line get on the board. Lafreniere with a huge hit off of a back check. You know, I saw some plays that should be boarding. I don't know if it was, I think it was a good non-call. It was close. It was a little borderline, but he just comes back and buries a Caps rookie, you know, against the boards. And then he's able to get the puck off of him, gives it to Trocheck, who gives it to Panarin, who just does the, you know, kind of looks off his shot and just puts it low between the five hole of Lindgren in net. And the Rangers have a 2-0 lead, all because Matt Rempe starts the party, as they say, you know? So yeah, you're feeling pretty good about the Rangers games at that point. You know, literally, a few shifts later, that fourth line again off the faceoff draw, Rempe goes right to the front of the net to take away the goalie's eyes, and VC off of a one faceoff just puts it on net. I think it goes off of a Caps defender's shoulder and just goes high corner off, you know, Lindgren, no chance for him, but you got to put it on net and good things happen. And that line all of a sudden has accounts for two of the Rangers' first three goals, you know. The Caps do come back and get one off of a strange kind of putting on net and pinballs off someone's skate and goes far post, even though Igor's in good position, not much he could do on it. But luckily, nothing really changes for the Rangers. They essentially the Caps in the third period, I think throughout three quarters of the third period, had zero shots on goal, which is when you are down by three goals is most likely, or, you know, excuse me, down by two goals, probably not going to get you the win. But they finally have a big push. The Rangers maintain their defensive structure, weather the storm. Zibanejad hits a streaking Kreider. You know, they kind of have that twin ESP. Kreider does the patented forehand backhand stash at top speed and puts one four, you know, that's four past Charlie Lindgren, which was a huge, honestly, couldn't have come in a better game. Because if you're going to face him and you know how good he is, you need to A, rattle his confidence early, and B, you have to give yourself the confidence that he is beatable. And that's exactly what they did. And yeah, they essentially put on a clinic of standing on your business and handling it. I thought all the defensive pairings were good. I think I'm thanking God every day that Peter Laviolette has saw what all the fans have seen and has decided to keep Keandre Miller with Braden Schneider and put Trouba with Erik Gustafsson, because those pairings have seemed to work much better for all parties involved. It's kind of hard to really evaluate, and this is I guess this is a slight to the Caps, kind of hard to evaluate how effective all these pairings will be in the playoffs, because the Caps really don't push that much. But if the Rangers made a mistake, they always had a forward back to try to help bail them out. They defended hard with their legs. I thought Keandre Miller was excellent in this game. He broke up so many plays. He was assertive. I thought Kaapo Kakko really had his legs this game. I thought Lafreniere was great this game. I thought Mika Zibanejad had a pretty underrated game defensively. I mean, he's been doing a lot of this stuff all season, and, you know, he doesn't get he's been on the ire of many a Rangers fan this season for his struggles scoring at 5-on-5. But that being said, he worked his tail off defensively. He broke up plays in the neutral zone all over the ice, pushed pucks back into his own end for D-man retrievals to reload. He was everywhere, and, you know, he was pushing the pace. And honestly, he makes that beautiful heads up pass to Kreider streaking. And, you know, the Rangers, like I said, they end this game, score a 4-1. Panarin gets on the board, check. Mika Zibanejad and Kreider, first line, gets on the board, check. Bottom six contributes. You bet they do. Two important goals, check. Defense plays great, check. Igor Shesterkin, who really didn't have to do much, which is kind of hard, honestly. You know, we've talked about how hard it can be for when you don't see a lot of rubber to then have to be dialed in. But when all of a sudden it was just basically, you know, he was probably thinking about, you know, what his next audiobook's going to be. And then all of a sudden there is a breakdown somewhere and he's seeing his first action. You know, he's seeing he's got to be in position and make reads for a breakdown. And he does it with, you know, aplomb. Like the one goal he gave up, not his fault. There's not a thing he would have or should have done differently. It's just unlucky. You know what I mean? But he was great and he was locked. He was really good at maintaining his focus and staying locked in. So yeah. And like I said, all those check boxes I just checked, that usually if the Rangers check those boxes, they're going to win a game, almost any game. And they did, and they got the decisive victory. They handled their business. They looked confident doing so. They looked pretty at ease even when, as the game went on and got chippier and chippier and Washington got increasingly more frustrated and more physical, as you knew they were. The Rangers were smart. They didn't go out of their way to kind of try to get baited into this, you know, war of attrition physicality thing, probably what the Capitals want to do. Obviously, the Rangers were physical when they needed to be, but, you know, Rempe, especially when, like, players like Dylan McIlrath, our old friend Dylan McIlrath, or Tom Wilson were, you know, just trying to bait the Rangers into they were throwing some kind of borderline dirty hits and trying to bait the Rangers into losing their focus and their cool, get them off their game. They didn't bite, which was important. And again, the good news is you can say the biggest, you know, effect Matt Rempe had on this game was with his play on the ice, period. Not for his fighting, not for the bone-crushing hits and physicality. It's for being a disruptive force on the ice, putting himself in scoring positions, taking away the goalie's eyes, which is what we've spoken about many times, that he can play hockey and he can be successful. And those are the things he can do to be successful. And that's exactly what the fourth line did. That's exactly what he did. And that's what the Rangers did. They stuck to the script, and credit to Coach Peter Laviolette, who really had his finger on the pulse of this game. You know, he just knew when to have the right lines out. And again, this might be dismissive and counting your chickens before they hatch, but even though you don't take anyone seriously, you know, you don't take anyone lightly in the National Hockey League, it's kind of hard to truly stress test yourself against a team like the Washington Capitals, who are, I would argue, are the weakest team in the playoffs right now. And the Rangers are lucky in that front. Doesn't mean they can't win a game. Doesn't mean they can't do damage. Doesn't mean they can't beat the Rangers in this series. But the Rangers, this is a very good, because of their low event style, this is a good warm up for if the Rangers are going to go on a run here. This is a good way to essentially get yourself locked in and dialed in. And because, you know, the Rangers, if they go on a run, are going to have to play it a lot of different ways. Like I had said off the top, they're going to have series where they're going to have trade chances and have their finger, you know, or have to deal with overwhelming swarming team speed and pressure, you know, the opposite of the way the Capitals play, who just, they just kind of play this low event. We're going to try to just always be close to position style, but, and feed off mistakes. But, yeah, this is, I think, a good first, because you see some of these series, like right now, the insanity that's going on in this Winnipeg and Colorado Avalanche game. It's like to play four series that are just flying flat out, balls to the wall, crazy physicality scoring. You know, the score is 7-5 in the third period. You know, 7 past Alexander Georgiev. What a shame. With 2 minutes and 40 seconds left to go. You know, I think, yeah, what a stark contrast to some of the other games. You know, Islanders Hurricanes game from the other day, and even the Rangers Caps game, which despite the final score was not a crazy back and forth, you know, game really. It just wasn't a high flying, up tempo, high octane game. It was just more of a teams making sure to play within themselves. And I think the Rangers have the most success this year with just playing a just solid, not too high, not too low, push the pace, but be responsible. Just honestly, just playing within themselves. And if they had the script, this game one is a good script for them for the rest of the playoffs. Obviously, it only gets harder, but the core tenets of how you play and the essentially, you know, the habits you have to have were right there. So to that end, you know, if game one couldn't have gone any better for the New York Rangers. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till hoisting the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visiting ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. As I had mentioned before, my co-host James did send me, although he can't be here, he did send me over some of his takeaways from the games, and I would be remiss if I didn't share them with all of you. So, first he says, my thoughts. Number one, the bottom six stepped up. Our fourth line players played very well. Obviously, you have to agree with him there, based on a combined 5 points for that line on the night. You know, Rempe, a goal. Jimmy VC, a goal and assist. Barclay Goodrow, two assists. Number two, Igor had to play a shit game with no rhythm, and he looked sound. The lone goal wasn't his fault. Yep, again, I agree with James there. Like we had spoken about, he just was dialed in, and even though there was big lulls in the action for him, he kept his focus, made the saves he had to make, looked good, was always in position. And yeah, that goal wasn't his fault. It was just kind of a fluke thing. So, you know, you can't hold that against him, right? Number three, great first game after a long break. Shook off the rust, found a way to score the first goal, never let the Caps own any zone time. That's an underrated point by James, because the Rangers did have a longer layoff than most teams, and you were worried that they might have a little bit of rust coming into this one. But yeah, they dictated from the drop. They, even though they didn't get their first goal until the second period, they dictated terms almost all night. Even though they had to kill the first penalty off of the Rempe, the soft Rempe penalty, obviously. So yeah, they dictated the ice all night. They didn't give the Caps any room to really do anything. They were always on them. They played their Peter Laviolette preferred 1-3-1 style in the neutral zone to a T. And yeah, they just broke up Sony plays when the Caps players tried to hit the blue line, which is something they've struggled with in past years. So great to see them do that so successfully this time. Number four, refs felt like too much of the game on both sides. Terrible calls both ways. Yeah, I'd agree. The refs were bad. Honestly, just they called things too close in the beginning. And then when it came time to swallow the whistles, it felt egregious because after calling just the dumbest ticky-tack soft stuff, they were letting some pretty blatant stuff go later in the game. So I agree with James there. The refs felt like they should have kind of picked a lane, I think. And they made a good point on the telecast that based on they felt that it would be a chippy affair, they wanted to basically scare both teams early on, being like, look, well, it'll be an endless parade to the box if that's what you guys want to do tonight. If you're going to, you're going to let this game get out of hand. So I guess that was their way of sending a message. But, ultimately probably felt it maybe could have swallowed their whistles a little bit to start and then maybe, pulled it out when some of the egregious stuff they kind of let go later. But I think when both teams think the reffing is bad, that at least means that it wasn't unbiased. It was just bad, flat out bad, period, right? So I guess that's a win for the Rangers because that just means the playing field is equal. And on an equal playing field, the Rangers are the better team. So there you go. So as we look ahead to game two, you have to imagine the Washington Capitals are going to want to make adjustments. They will definitely probably try to push the pace more as they've discovered that if they just sit back and wait for things to happen, the Rangers are most likely not going to give them anything on that front. So they're going to have to try to generate more chances. The problem for them is they are definitely a little exposed with having two of their top six defensemen hurt. Presumably, they had some more injuries. They had the young man who left the game after the Lafreniere hit. I don't remember his name, I'm sorry to say. So who knows if they'll have to have extra call-ups, but we'll see. But you definitely presume that in game two, the Capitals will try to push the pace a little bit more, dictate, because again, like I said, when they just tried to be patient, the Rangers were like, okay, like we'll also play patient, but they just kept making their plays. And then when the Caps would try to do something, they'd break, they'd make a defensive play and go down the ice. I saw that way more from the Rangers, who just skated faster, made more, you know, basically use the length of the ice, and the Capitals just don't have the mobility on their back end or of their forwards. You know, they're just an older, slower team. So there were passes to be made. There was mid-range passes to be made. There was stretching the ice passes to be made. And I don't know if the Rangers will have access to that all of, especially if you play a team like, you know, Carolina in the next round or whoever. But essentially, the Rangers are going to have to be cognizant of the fact that the Capitals will probably try to maybe push the pace a little bit more. They'll try to make adjustments. They might dump pucks for the sake of just forechecking, going to get it more. So the Rangers D-men will have to be ready, because I think that's the one thing the Capitals tried to kind of enter the Rangers zone with speed, but I didn't see them try to get behind them at all, which was a mistake, which just made it way too easy. You know what I mean? For, you know, the Rangers D-men just to collect it and, you know, support each other and make D-to-D pass or just have a low forward for support to get it up the ice. So just too easy. So you expect the Caps will make adjustments. The Rangers will have to be ready for said adjustments. But again, if you're the Rangers, I don't know if you necessarily have to really change anything. You have the script. Like I said, you just take another page out of it and play exactly the same way. And hopefully you're walking into Washington up two games, you know, because obviously if you split, all of a sudden, you know, if you split the first two games, fair or not, the team that won the President's Trophy and the team that barely limped its way into the playoffs, all of a sudden the pressure will be on the Rangers for splitting. So don't want to be in that situation. You know what I mean? Don't give them anything. Continue to just play stingy on your special teams and your penalty kill. And just, like I said, play the exact same way. We'll take a quick minute, I guess, maybe just give some thoughts on some of the other series around the league. The Islanders and the Hurricanes, pretty much what we thought. You know, the Islanders had a much stronger showing than I think a lot of people thought they would. They thought they were going to get ground up by the Hurricanes. Yes, they lost game one, but it was close. And honestly, the Islanders, it was a pretty even first period. I thought the Islanders, you know, maybe slight edge to the Hurricanes. I thought the Islanders completely outworked the Hurricanes in the second period. But it was tied 1-1 going into the third, and Carolina just gets the goal. You know what I mean? Obviously, their first goal of the playoffs scored by Evgeny Kuznetsov on the power play. That's why you get a guy like him, because they've always had guys to disrupt and get dirty goals and just forecheck like crazy, the Rod Brind'Amour style. But you get someone who thinks a little bit differently and plays differently, basically plays against the grain of the team he's on, that just can cause some confusion. And so he has a goal and assist in that game. So go figure. You know what I mean? Everyone's so worried about Gensel, which you should be, but it's Kuznetsov. That pickup is showing that, you know, maybe the Hurricanes have a dimension they didn't have before, finally. You know what I mean? So, but the Islanders at least have shown that no one's played as, they're no stranger to, considering how seasoned they all are, to big boy, physical, grinded out hockey and in the trenches. And that's kind of the way they played. Not fast per se, but pretty exacting. And just essentially they put it in behind they were good at putting it behind the Canes and then using their stronger forwards. I mean, Anders Lee, who I know a lot of Islander fans have been all over this year and as he gets older, but shows that why his skill set maybe not so good for the regular season where the lack of foot speed hurts him, but in the playoffs, he's a beast on the boards. You cannot take pucks away from him. He's just out-muscling everybody, you know what I mean, with that strong lower body of his. So, just because Carolina wins game one, I would not be surprised to see them split with the Islanders in game two. But that being said, I still think Carolina wins the series overall, but I don't think I could see it go, you know, I don't think it goes anything under six games. I think the Islanders at least get two wins here. You know, maybe it's a five-game series for the Carolina, but I could see Carolina winning in either six or seven games. And with the Islanders putting up a good fight, you know what I mean? So, Anderson did look a little shaky in net, but he had some good timely support from his other forward, you know, from the Canes players to swipe away leaky pucks and things, because there was a few leaky ones. So something to look out for. The Boston Bruins and Toronto. I mean, what do you say at this point? I'm sure Toronto fans are, you know, apoplectic because they can never start a series, you know, on the foot they want to, even though they lost 3-7 last year in the first game, 1 to Tampa, and came back and won that series. But, you know, Boston is just their boogeyman. And this was supposed to be them showing, yes, you are in Boston, so it makes sense. It's not the end of the world. You drop game one. But it was supposed to basically say this is a new Toronto Maple Leafs team. This is a more physical one, you know, with players like Bertuzzi and Domi and Reeves and just some of the other bottom six guys they have. And that just didn't really look like the case. It just, like, Boston just dictated terms basically the whole night. And I think, yeah, the Leafs ended up out shooting Boston, but it felt pretty even except for the breakdowns that, you know, and the essentially just the Bruins just basically being kind of in control. You know what I mean? It just seemed like a lot of desperation hockey and desperation passes and shots from the Leafs, who are a talented team, but they just did not, you know, it's like the Tavares and Marner didn't seem willing to play the way they would have to play to be dangerous. And you're going to need them, obviously, not having William Nylander hurt. We'll see if he's ready for game two. But yeah, I mean, Boston continues to be Toronto's boogeyman. So we'll see if Toronto can shake their own fears. And, you know, they finally made it out of the first round for once. So, but let's see if it's wasn't an aberration. They could do it again. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Yeah, another series I thought the Panthers should probably win. I think Tampa takes... Oh, boy. I think Tampa wins one game in the series, but I think it's going to be the Cats in five. I just think, you know, that doesn't mean the games won't be close, and especially because Tampa's got some pretty, Tampa's got some, obviously they have Kucherov playing at an all-world level right now, and they have some deadly players in point, and Stamkos on the power play, and, you know, guys like Brandon Hagel, who can, you know, score some greasy goals, you know what I mean? But it's just, you know, the Panthers, unfortunately, are a cut above. They just have too many weapons. You know, Barkov, Verhaeghe, now they have Tarasenko, Matthew Tkachuk, you know, Lewis Cerina, and they just have so many ways they can burn you. You know what I mean? And they just play such a aggressive style that it just kind of messes with teams that are kind of like, you know, their fourth line with Lomberg and, you know, or their bottom six with, you know, guys like Lomberg and Anton Lundell. Just, they just have that combination of sandpaper, solid play, and skill up front. It's just, there's just such a scary team. So, and I just feel like the Avs are fighting Father Time at this point, you know, even though they do have some younger blood in their lineup, especially, you know, bringing aboard people like, Anthony Duclair. But I just don't think it's going to be enough. So I'm going to say, you know, they drop game one 3-2, which wasn't, you know, it was a pretty close game, score-wise at least, you know. They drop, Cats win game one. I expect they're going to win game two. I can see Tampa winning one of their games at home, but I think the Cats win the other one and then just go home and finish the job. So, but we'll see. I've been wrong almost every time I've ever made a prediction, so we'll see. Crazy, crazy game for the Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. As I'm recording this, the game just ended. Final score, 7-6 Winnipeg Jets. According to Down Goes Brown on Twitter, that's the first 7-6 playoff game since 2006 and the first one in regulation. This was in regulation since 1985. Alexander Georgiev finishes the game with a 6.42 goals against average and a 7.85 save percentage. Oh, in three games versus the Jets. Sorry, that wasn't this game. That was in all three of his. Oh, that's not good. In all three of the games cumulatively he's played against the Winnipeg Jets this year. So, yeah, I see a lot of essentially pinning this on Georgiev, which might be true, especially because it's like, how often are you going to put up six goals on Connor Hellebuyck? But, you know, yeah, yikes. It just seemed like this game was chippy, high octane, balls to the wall. Basically the opposite of the Rangers, Caps, and the Carolina Hurricanes and Islanders game. Pretty wild. I mean, it's, yeah, people are, it was such an entertaining game. I didn't get to watch most of it. I only got to watch some highlights. I definitely want to see if I can go back. Hopefully I recorded it because it sounds like it was just an incredible playoff series. Where what a treat we're in for. That'll be a sleeper series for sure. You know what I mean? And I guess finally we have the Vancouver Canucks and the Nashville Predators. Has that game even started yet? Yep. It literally just started. They just dropped the puck. Not going to be able to give you my thoughts on how the game turned out because they're still playing it right now. They literally just started. But, this is the one I'm kind of the most split about because, you know, obviously Vancouver's going to have the home ice advantage. That being said, Nashville, I think Vancouver, as good as the season they've had their ups and downs stretch. It's been kind of a mixture of good and bad. The Nashville Predators started out really poorly, but then just got better and better and better as the series went on. Yeah, I don't know. I think Vancouver wins out ultimately, but it'll be close. I could see this being one of the few series I think might go to seven games, six games or seven games. I just think the teams, there's not that much separating them. I think I like the overall, I think I like Nashville's defense better. I think I like Vancouver's forwards better. But, you know, I think I have a lot more questions about, you know, I think Nashville can probably play a grittier style if they want. Not that Vancouver doesn't have players that can do that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's just, they're two teams that I think there's honestly not too much separating them in my eyes, at least in the, when it comes to postseason type hockey. So I think it's going to be, this will be one of the series that could potentially go the distance or at least six games. You know what I mean? So, but we shall see. I mean, you know, I think, you know, maybe it comes down to goaltending. I mean, Saros has been good this season. Most, you know, it's been a little up and down for his standards compared to past seasons, but you know, he's been definitely down the stretch. He's been good. And obviously, you know, Thatcher Demko has been very good for the Canucks this year. So we'll see. But again, I think matchups will be very important. And yeah, you know, so this is one of the ones that's kind of close to call. So we'll see how it goes. Well, that's going to do it for this one. Again, you got to be stoked. The New York Rangers stand on business in game one and get it done. They're going to have to be ready for a push by even a team like the Washington Capitals has, you know, more in the tank than you might think. So the Rangers just make sure they're ready for the push and they're undeterred. They stick to the script, like I said, and play their game. And lucky for them, you know, the Rempe effect is already in full effect. So onward to game two. Hopefully they can make their way to Washington up 2-0 in the series. So, hey, the playoffs are here. Oh, yeah, and the Knicks won game one, which is also awesome. So good times at the Garden. So let's go Knicks and let's go Rangers.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.